and welcome to this week's edition of Because You Can't Read All the Time, in which myself and Irish cockfight impresario Aaron discuss the French custom of Bastille Day. Due to an editing error, you missed out on the whole first minute of our discussion, but I hope you can pick up and enjoy our thoughts on this most joyous of holidays. Aaron majored in Bastille Day history, we learned in this minute and a half, whereas I, unfortunately, went to more of a vocational institute for my Bastille Day studies. So I have more of a hands-on knowledge, whereas Aaron's understanding is more theoretical and abstract. So Bastille Day, yeah, the Cranberries wrote a song about it. It's called Zombie. It's about the zombies from the French Revolutionary times.
Wait, what?
Yes. True story.
Okay. This is something they didn't teach me at the Harvard Institute for Bastille
Day. Oh, the Harvard Institute. I didn't know we were pulling out the big guns.
I take my education seriously.
Okay. Well, so I don't know what they teach at the Harvard Institute for Bastille Day studies, but here's what Wikipedia tells me. It is the French national holiday, which is celebrated on the 14th of July each year, and in France, it is formally called La Fête Nationale, just La Fête Nationale, or commonly, Le 14 Juillet. It commemorates the 1790 Fête de la Fédération, held on the first anniversary of the storming of Bastille. So it's a commemoration of a commemoration?
Oh, that's confusing.
Yeah, like, listen, it commemorates the 1790 Fête de la Fédération held on the first anniversary of the storming of Bastille. So really what we're celebrating is an epic party that happened once a very long time ago.
Actually, I'm more supportive of that than actually celebrating the thing itself because, I don't know, it just sounds kind of like...
Sounds more fun.
You know. Yeah. And plus, you have to take a political stance if you're going to, you know, say, hey, I like storming things and letting people out of jail.
Right.
Like, that kind of, you know, that's not kosher everywhere, so...
No. And, like, last week we talked about my complex feelings toward all monarchies, so I'm not really comfortable taking a side in this event, but... So it celebrates when they broke into the Bastille, which is seen as a symbol of the uprising of the modern nation and of the reconciliation of all the French inside the constitutional monarchy, which preceded the First Republic during the French Revolution, which seems, I'm calling BS here, because why would you celebrate basically what was like a false detente between the monarchs and the royal, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you celebrate that? It obviously didn't take... and then they hold festivities and official ceremonies, which is nice, I think. One tradition, you know, Aaron, you might not be aware, but during Thanksgiving in America each year, the head of state, which is also called the president, typically pardons a turkey every year, because the traditional food at Thanksgiving time is turkey. Similarly, Article 17 of the Constitution of France gives the president, as he is also called in France, but a different president, the authority to pardon criminals on Bastille Day.
And oh, so it's kind of like the same thing, only less violent.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, since 1991, the president has pardoned many petty offenders, mainly traffic offenses, on 14 July. Although, in 2007... President Sarkozy declined to continue the practice.
Why? Why is he so, like, I don't know. That just seems, what's, like, a spendthrift, you know? But, like, with presidential pardons.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's a tyrant, probably.
Yeah, it sounds very tyrannical.
Which is the opposite of the spirit of Bastille Day.
Yeah. I don't like these French. Like, they're just kind of, like, doing whatever.
This sounds like a terrible holiday. I'm just going to go ahead and say this does not sound like the best holiday. Wikipedia also includes a segment in their Bastille Day article entitled One Time Celebrations. So apparently, like, every 10 years or so, they go all out for Bastille Day, and then, you know, they're kind of spent after that. In 1790, they held what was the largest crowd at an outdoor concert on Bastille Day. I find it
now, as someone who enjoys festivals, right, that sounds awesome.
Mm. But what kind of music was it? They don't say.
Maybe Kanye West played.
In 1979, I'm sure it was. In 1989, they celebrated the 200th anniversary of the French Revolution, notably with a monumental show on the Champs-Élysées. It doesn't say what kind of show, though, which, again, has me a little disturbed.
Yeah, that could mean anything.
Like a drag show.
Like, was it just a giant outdoor strip club? I don't understand.
A circus. We're going to have a huge... We're gonna have a huge ass circus on the Champs-Élysées.
You would think they'd have pictures of it or something.
That really sounds more like a threat, too. Like, we're gonna have a huge ass circus and you're just gonna have to deal with it.
Oh, maybe it was like a meeting of the Juggalos.
The gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, sorry. I don't always know the correct terminology.
I know more about the Juggalos and ICP than I would care to. I recently rechristened myself, I don't know if you heard this, Maggie Too Dope.
Oh, wow, I was unaware.
Yeah, it's my Juggalo name.
Like, so you just get to pick whatever your Juggalo name is.
Well, no, there's a member of ICP named Shaggy Too Dope, and I was like, Shaggy Too Dope, Maggie Too Dope.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, I'm always thinking, as evidenced by that.
That is true. That's the one thing I say about you to other people.
You want to know how smart she is? She figured out that Maggie and Shaggy rhyme. And have you ever heard of Shaggy Too Dope?
That is often... that is what I'm going to be telling people. But, you know, I'm often saying things of similar styles to people about you.
Good. That's what I like to hear. So, Bastille Day... Kind of a crock. That's my final summation of the whole thing.
I mean, it's basically just, you know, 4th of July, 10 days later, and lamer.
And the gathering,
in a different country.
And the gathering of the Juggalos on the Champs-Élysées, which sounds kind of tacky, France.
Yeah, way to class it up.
Yeah, and I don't like that the president stopped issuing pardons. Like, this Thanksgiving, if Obama's like, oh, it's too hard to pardon a turkey, I'm going to be like, fine, I'm moving to, well, not France, but someplace cooler.
Maybe Spain, if they get their act together.
If they get their act together, or definitely not Greece.
There's just a lot of places we can't go right now.
There are some places I'm not allowed to go, too, so that makes it even worse. Irish Times in Worcester, Massachusetts, can't go there.
Nice.
That was a misunderstanding, though. And I found that if I use a different name, they will let me in. That's a story for another time. countries I can go to. The UK, I guess, is always still open.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Open for business.
You'd have to live, you know, pretty close to Kate Middleton, then.
Ah, yeah, well... She was just in California, wasn't she? I'm sorry, this has become kind of a Kate Middleton hate cast, and that wasn't why I started this.
I mean, it's just a fact of life, really. You can't help but bring it up from time to time. Yes, she was. It's really funny. I was at my grandmother's again with my aunt,
yes,
and the TV's just constantly on.
Right.
So there was some sort of press conference, or William was talking to veterans or something.
Oh my God, they went to a job fair for military spouses.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, I think this was on CNN or MSNBC or something, and they're, like, reporting on other stuff, and then I'm talking, and I'm telling my aunt and my grandmother about my trip last weekend to the Bay Area. And all of a sudden, like, I'm telling them a pretty gripping story, and all of a sudden my aunt goes, wait, I think the Royals are in California. Hold on, let's watch this. And I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Wow.
I guess that's more important than my story.
I was kind of insulted that they took it upon themselves to visit a job fair for military spouses. Because I was like, who better to address a bunch of, you know, employment-seeking military, American military spouses than two British royals who've never had real jobs? Like, yeah, ladies, get to work!
And the best part is, like, CNN or whoever was broadcasting this when I was rudely interrupted, they kind of showed you, like, the hall where it was happening, and then they, like, cut to some stock footage they took earlier in the week when Kate Middleton and Prince William were talking to Tom Hanks and his wife.
What?
Yeah, and I was just like, wait, so what are we talking about? Like, what's happening? Is Tom Hanks in the military now? Well, it was very confusing.
Tom Hanks is a big supporter of, like, military charities.
Maybe that's why, but it was just very bizarre.
Well, I'm sorry, I have to get Hitchens the dog. We run a pretty high-tech operation here at the recording studio, my house in a sketchy neighborhood. Yeah, I don't know. I resent Prince William coming here and telling the American military spouses of the world, like, what they need to do. And Tom Hanks does, like, feel very strongly about various, like, veterans' causes. You know, I guess it's nice that Prince William supports our military so much.
I mean, I guess it's kind of like charity for him, which again is just...
kind of insulting.
Definitely insulting. I mean, that's all I know about their trip here.
Well, I mean, consider the alternative, which would be if he came here and, like, loudly protested our military. Like, that would be kind of weird, too.
But, I mean, why is he doing this at all? Like, why couldn't he just, like, take a tour of the Hollywood Hills and leave it at that? Or,
yeah,
you know,
it's like, help no one wants, basically.
Yeah, like, no one told him to do that. Well, maybe someone did, but they shouldn't have.
But if I was a military spouse in California, I wouldn't be like, God, you know, I really want a job, but I don't know. I really hope Prince William comes and tells me what I should do.
Yeah, of all the people.
I was kind of on the fence about, you know, going back to school and getting a job, but maybe if Prince William could come and show me the way with his, you know, unemployed wife, that would be great.
Yeah, why not?
Life in the military, it's so hard, but, you know, God bless the prince.
Long live the king, y'all.
But then when I see those attractive rich people up there, makes it all worth it.
I mean, to be fair, those attractive rich people just took out Osama bin Laden, so I guess we should be thankful.
That's true. Erin and I stumbled on the amazing truth that Kate, whatever she calls herself, is actually a robot that was put together by, I don't know, I guess DARPA. Some branch of the American military, which I guess is where her interest in American military spouses comes from, to take out Osama bin Laden. After their wedding, they were whisked away by a military helicopter. We don't know where. A day later, Osama bin Laden was dead. You know, we think they activated the Kate bot.
And that would also explain why they knowingly had Osama. Or sorry, oh God, Barack Obama.
Oh,
that was bound to happen.
Okay, Sarah Palin.
I'm sorry, Barack.
This is the Kate Middleton / Tea Party hate cast.
It's all good. I caught myself.
Okay.
Let's forget it ever happened.
We'll let it go.
So it explains why Barack Obama knowingly was not a part of the royal wedding. It wasn't a snub, as many had foreseen or,
right,
you know, thought it might have been. But, you know, they were all in on this joke, if you will. And they all came out on top. So, you know what? Cheers to that.
That's true. When you consider that Kate Middleton is an American military constructed robot,
suddenly I can understand why they wanted to come to California and show their appreciation to the military, because, you know, without them, Kate Middleton never would have existed, so it all...
That's true.
You know, this is where we tell the truth. You know, we're not afraid to call it like it is. We're not afraid to call bullshit on Bastille Day. We're not afraid to maybe take the royals to task. We do a lot of the things that I think other people are afraid to do.
Yeah, way to pull that together. Way to wrap it up in a nice little package.
And you know who else isn't exempt, speaking of nice little packages? And I think you know where I'm going with this. Entenmann's.
Dun, dun, dun!
Entenmann's is also on our hit list tonight. Am I right?
You are definitely right. For those of you who don't know and don't follow Entenmann's on their Twitter feed...
Yeah, freaks.
Which, by the way, why aren't you?
Yeah.
Shortly after the Casey Anthony
boo
verdict, which I guess we'll get more into,
boo.
They being Entenmann's, posted on their Twitter feed, what was it again, like, who's not guilty of...
Right, the hashtag was not guilty, and so everybody on Twitter was all up in arms about how Casey Anthony was not guilty. Entenmann's apparently just saw not guilty was trending and was like, who's not guilty about, I think it was like, you know, enjoying another box of Entenmann's or something, you know.
Yeah.
And they didn't get what the deal was. And then maybe like an hour later or something, they came back and were like, sorry. We didn't know that that was about the murder trial.
But I mean, first of all, how could they not know? Second of all... I kind of think that that's exactly, like, if you're going to be a company in this day and age and you make that decision to be on Twitter and be on Facebook unnecessarily, because who's following Entenmann's on Twitter?
I follow then, Ragu.
Well, yeah, but that's different.
That is way different. Anyway.
So, okay, but if you're Ragu or Entenmann's, why wouldn't you? Like, that's the whole point of you being on these social networking sites, is to, like, use whatever's trending to your advantage in marketing.
Right,
so
yeah.
You know what? I respect Entenmann's because they finally got it. Like,
yeah,
you know, more people are talking about Entenmann's than they ever have before.
Not true in my case, because I love Entenmann's and talk about it all the time. But in other people's, in other lesser people's cases, yes, I can see how that's possible. But I would also be pro Entenmann's here because their baked treats are delicious. I do not get any money for saying that. This is not a podcast funded by Entenmann's yet.
We're here waiting.
We are ready for that. But I also think, like, people need to chill out. Okay, Casey Anthony, are we ready to talk about this? Are you ready for some truth-telling?
I was born ready.
Yeah. I would like to observe that the kind of like the royal wedding Osama bin Laden thing, 4th of July was one day, the next day the Casey Anthony verdict. On my Facebook newsfeed, almost, and this is where I alienate all my friends, almost all of the people who on the 4th of July were unabashedly, you know, flag-waving jingoists, just, you know, could not love America more if you paid them. The next day were the same people who were all cynical about the Casey Anthony verdict. Well, that's American justice for you. Or how stupid can jurors be? You know, the citizens of this perfect country they love so very much. I found it ironic and also enjoyable.
Yeah, I've been lucky that most people I know, or maybe it's just that I'm not on Facebook all that often.
Or you don't know as many jingoists.
I just haven't seen the jingoism for myself, but people haven't really, that I know, haven't really been making a big deal about the Casey Anthony thing, which is refreshing. I really don't see why anyone is paying attention.
No.
I mean, it's really, it's just like every few years we need some other, like, child murder mystery or, you know, something of that sort to happen so we can all act like we're stand-up people. Oh, that woman is horrible. Oh, you know, who could do that to a child? Yeah, okay, let's not draw too much attention to these people.
Yeah, it's not like it's
dealt with.
It's not like it's part of a broad trend across the country where, like, mothers are murdering their children, where it's like, this is yet another sad example of the many millions of women across the country who are doing this. Like, it's not. It's an aberration, which is why it's interesting. And also, yeah, people need to feel good about themselves, where they can all take a bold anti-child murdering stance.
Which is, you know, very uncommon in our day and age, that people would speak out against such things.
It's the rare person, you know, it's the rare person, and, you know, thank God somebody's finally taking a stand, because I know I've sat idly by too many times, you know.
Well, children were murdered.
yeah. I am not that great of a person.
So. Well, you gotta pick and choose your battles. Yeah,
it's, you know, privacy issues and everything being what they are. Basically, I refuse to feel bad, but I'm glad that somebody else feels bad for me, and God bless, you know? Or, I love how that's become my thing when I don't know what to say anymore. Like, when I've talked myself into a corner. Like, I don't really know what I'm saying anymore. So, here's a generally positive thing.
I'm just gonna bless you all.
Unless I'm talking to an audience of rabid atheists, I'm going to assume that everyone will feel pretty good after I say this.
Oh, God.
Yes, God bless you, Aaron.
Thanks.
You are too welcome.
I've totally forgotten that we totally went off track.
Yeah, so Casey Anthony Entenmann's It's All Good in the Hood. I will not stop enjoying my delicious treats from Entenmann's, or as they are known in upstate New York, Fryhoffers. True story.
What?
Yes.
What's the point of that? I'm sorry, that makes me really angry, because Entenmann's is already a weird name. Why do they have to complicate things further?
I just know that when I'm in upstate New York, the cookies taste the same, and they're called Fryhoffers.
Whatever, upstate New York. I have issues with all of New York, I guess.
I like New York State. I do not particularly care for the city.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to agree. Like, I haven't really seen much of New York State, but it's generally all right by me.
I mean, it's you know, it's not too different from anywhere else than the state part. It's just, like, a bunch of farms and towns. I mean, it's like any place that has, well, I guess any place that has farms. But the city, I do not care for. I was just there last weekend. I'm there a lot, usually, like, on my way, like, en route to some other place. I almost always end up in Grand Central. God, you know, not my favorite place.
You know, I wouldn't mind New York, but what really pisses me off is that everyone, with the exception of the singer from Best Coast, everyone who's been there is like, or even people who haven't been there, are like, it's the greatest city on earth. How could you ever say anything different? Why are you stupid? And I'm like, you know what? I just happen to enjoy other cities on an equal basis. Like, but apparently that makes me an uncultured idiot. So
I enjoy other cities more. And anyone who's ever been to New York once feels like they're entitled to, like, have this opinion on it, and they, like, know everything about it. As evidenced by, like, I took a bus from LaGuardia to Grand Central, and there's this guy sitting in front of me who, first of all, had long hair and a cowboy hat and was wearing, like, a wife beater. And one of the first things he tells the, like, 18-year-old kid sitting next to him is, I'm from South Dakota. And I was just like, oh, God.
We're sorry, listeners from South Dakota, but...
Well, no, it's just, like, if you're going to be in the big city from South Dakota, are you really going to wear a cowboy hat and, like, a wife beater? Like, you know what I mean?
You want to represent.
Yeah, it's I was embarrassed for South Dakota, but he's talking this kid's ear off. He's like, last time I was in New York, it was 1987. I was like, this kid wasn't even born then. Like, he doesn't care. And then we're, like, nowhere near Grand Central. I've spent my share of time at Grand Central. And he's like, well, if I'm not mistaken, we should be coming up on Grand Central here pretty soon. And I was like, no, we're nowhere near Grand Central. And, oh, by the way, you've been, like, talking this poor kid's ear off. And I just wanted to, like, stop the bus. I'm walking. I don't care. I'm just going to walk.
And, oh, God.
You know, he'd been to New York once, and so he was an authority. And this kid got to hear all about it. And I was like, why, man?
Why? And I bet you a kid, like, was born and raised in New York City.
Right, too. Yeah.
He's just sitting there like, oh, my God.
Or he's from, like, Connecticut or something. Like, he's been coming there since he was a kid, you know? And I was just like, please stop talking. If I'm not mistaken. And I don't know why I'm giving him, like, a southern accent. Because he's from South Dakota. But all people from other states have southern accents in my mind.
Well, you know, the bad states.
Which is not a slam against Texas, where I live, where everybody has southern accents. Lovely, lovely people.
That's your own stance, Maggie. I have yet to be there and experience it.
Well, you're gonna love it. It's awesome. It's enjoyable. You know, lots of people have concealed carry licenses. So that's good. So right off the bat, you know you're in good hands. People are walking around with guns you can't even see.
Those are the best kind of guns. Yeah. Then it's always a surprise.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God, you had a gun, I just couldn't see it. Great, I feel great now. So there's that. And then Austin, so all the good things in one state.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're obviously going to do a live podcast in September, right? Like, both of us in the same room.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, do you think, how's that going to work out? Like, could we do it somewhere special, or could we get an audience, or what are we going to do for this? Should we, promote it?
Well, I don't know.
Should we discuss this live on our podcast right now?
I was going to say, these are all thoughts for a different time. I think we have a few weeks to talk about this. So listeners, whoever's been downloading our podcast over and over again is now up to a healthy 107.
So, wow.
Yeah. So if our fan wants to come out, he or she is welcome.
Yeah, we'd really like to meet you in a safe public place.
So, Mom, if you're listening, I'd like to meet you in a safe public place.
Aww.
Yeah, I hope my mom hasn't downloaded this 107 times. That's a little creepy.
She just wants you to feel good about yourself.
And you know what? I kind of do. So yeah, whoever you are, stay tuned, and we'll be in touch.
Yeah, you one person.
In fact, if you want to just start recording with us, it can just be the three of us.
Then you don't have to download it so many times.
We can just set up a weekly conference call. Any business? Any national holidays you'd like to diss?
That's basically what we do.
I hope whoever's listening isn't like an Entenmann's executive or like Casey Anthony's lawyer.
Yeah, we might have just alienated our
fan.
Really big fan.
All of a sudden you see all our downloads go down to zero. Like that person has somehow managed to undownload.
Unsubscribe.
Yeah, and make sure it says zero. I want them to know.
Yeah, get in touch with someone at iTunes and figure that one out.
Tell them it sucks.
Oh, God.
I get an email from iTunes. Hey, we're just relaying a message here. Your ex-fan says you suck.
Yeah, we got a little bit of fan mail for you.
iTunes also handles fan mail.
Yeah, so if you haven't already, listener, feel free to contact us via the iTunes.
Come to my house. What do I care?
Yeah, with your concealed weapon, whatever.
Just, you know, store it on up and head over. God, these words might come back to haunt me, but I don't think they will.
Oh, God. I really don't think, I really hope that it doesn't.
We're going to start calling this the No Regrets cast.
For sure.
No regrets. That's me. Right.
The only way to live.
God bless. So, no regrets and God bless.
Oh, my.
That'll be when I'm a televangelist.
It's really a fine line between podcast to televangelist.
I feel like I'm almost there already.
We should just, you know what? Screw it. Like, mm-hmm. Let's just do it.
Let's just. How hard can it be? Fake eyelashes, makeup, hair. We're good. We have all of those things.
I definitely do. What else do we need? Shoulder pads?
Yes.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah, shoulder pads, fake eyelashes. I think we're all set. I mean, I don't think, is there anything else that they do? I think it's just the hair and the makeup and the shoulder pads.
Yeah, and then we just continue talking as we have been.
Right, about cock rings and what else? Murder trials, all of those things. The royals.
Yeah. All the important things in life.
Have you seen that show on the Religious Channel where it's just like two girls with fake eyelashes and shoulder pads who hate Kate Middleton?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that already exists.
Probably. Why wouldn't it? I'm missing the part where they talk about Jesus, but man, do they hate Kate Middleton.
I mean, I assume that comes later, but...
That's in the blooper reel that they play during the credits.
Where they talk about Jesus?
Oh, the Jesus part? Yeah, that gets relegated to the blooper reel.
We couldn't use any of that.
It's mostly subliminal messaging, like they just have flashes of it in between while they talk about Kate Middleton, and you come away like, I don't know what you want me to do. What does it mean? Yeah, so televangelism, our next project. So, fan, get excited.
I hope you're religious.
Actually, well, he doesn't have to be because we've established that it's mostly going to be about shoulder pads and Kate Middleton.
You know, that could be a religion. I mean, it's so focused.
If he's too religious, we might have alienated him too. What if he's like, well, I thought they were going to talk about Jesus, and now they're just like Kate Middleton and shoulder pads.
Well, if that's the case, why has he been listening? In the
Yeah. I don't know what the original draw was.
Maybe he assumed we would talk about Jesus at some point.
They seem pretty nice.
Like it's someone we don't even know.
It's like, I somehow found out about the first one, and they seemed so nice that I was like, oh, maybe Jesus will find his way in there. And yeah, I don't know. So this fan, we could talk about him all night. I mean...
This mythical fan.
Yeah, I think next week our show should be all about this one guy or girl. I'm open to either, you know, in terms of listenership.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah, we're not beggars, we are choosers. Wait. Or the opposite. Whatever.
Yeah, the opposite of that is what we are.
We are not choosers, we are beggars. And doesn't that sound appealing?
Doesn't that make you want to listen to us?
Two beggars. Oh, God. It's these two homeless girls who hate Kate Middleton, and they just...
and wear shoulder pads.
Somehow have access to a computer.
And... We're at the public library, like, every week.
Every show ends with, like, the librarian being like, you have to get out, it's closing time.
Hey, you bums leave.
Why do you always come here at night, disrupt the readers with your raucous laughter?
Yeah, that's a good point. Nobody does that in the library.
People just cracking each other up at the library.
And they're homeless. And yet they still manage to have freshly, like, applied makeup and shoulder pads.
There were two of the most put-together homeless girls just cracking each other up at the library.
You know, if my life really goes downhill, I hope that's in store for me. Because, you know, it could be worse.
It could be much worse. That's true. I'll give you that much. Yeah, and then we could, over time, as we get on our feet, maybe open a vineyard together, a winery, and we could call it, like, the Laughing Hobos, and it would be, like, you and me with, like, skull caps on, with our heads thrown back in laughter, and that would be on all the wine bottles.
And we would be, like, wearing these rags that somehow have amazing shoulder pads underneath.
And long, healthy eyelashes.
Maybe. And our dirty, homeless feet would be stomping the grapes.
Oh, so it's like a body shot. I was thinking just like, you know, our heads drawn on the... But if you want, like, a full-length thing stomping on grapes. Laughing.
I think it's necessary.
Laughing while we stomp on grapes. Heads thrown back, not a care in the world. This sounds like a can't-lose proposition.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of, like, high-powered executives who don't have quite the same outlook on life. And, you know, they may be rich and they may have homes, but, you know, they're not as happy, I think.
I don't think there's anyone happier than me. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Well, good on you.
And that is meant to sound menacing. Like, I am challenging anyone.
Yeah, listener. So let us know if you're happier than us. And how? And prove it.
And then photographic evidence. Contest. Happiest listener. Happiest listener wins our esteem.
Yeah, and not much else. We probably won't even mention you on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll confer privately and decide amongst ourselves who the happiest is, and we'll just know.
And then you get the pride of knowing that we know.
Right, yeah. And you'll just have to guess. Maybe you'll get a feeling. You know, maybe.
Oh, you'll
sense.
Definitely know when we know.
Oh, okay. Aaron will somehow let you know.
No, but it's like a, you know, you get a feeling, like you were saying, like, it's undeniable. You'll know. It's not a gimmick. Yeah, like, we're not doing this to get weird pictures of our listeners.
If you really are the happiest person, I feel like you don't need anyone to tell you that.
Like, but still enter our contest.
First of all, yes. And second of all, if you feel the need for someone to affirm that you are the happiest listener, you're probably not the happiest listener.
So enter, but at your own risk.
So, just something to think about, but still we encourage you to enter. I don't know where you'll send it. You can like us on Facebook, I guess. There's a facebook.com/, was it Shower It on the Admiralty?
Yeah, I think so.
One word. It's the blog that, like, we're nominally affiliated with. But, again, planning this on the air with my co-host, I'm thinking we should move the podcast to its own blog and just have a Because You Can't Read All the Time blog. On Blogspot, what do you think? And then that would be a place for our listener to, really cut loose.
And let us know who that person is.
Yeah, and then we can kind of get an idea of who our listenership is and, you know, maybe connect with our fan a little more.
Yeah.
So, Aaron?
I would like that.
Okay. Fan, I assume you're sitting at home or at work or on your jog, nodding in agreement. Like, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds real good. That's how I think you talk. If you don't, that's what the blog's for. We'll get a feel. We'll find out a little bit more about you. I'm going to call you Ted, though, until we find out.
Yeah, Ted. And also, if you could send us, like, along with the pictures, maybe, like, a video or maybe, like, a sound recording, it would just really help.
Yeah.
So we can visualize.
I don't want this to become some weird thing where we're, like, always soliciting pictures from our listeners.
Well, but this is the one time.
Okay.
The one time.
I want the listeners to know that they shouldn't feel pressured to send us pictures.
But it would be nice.
I'm just saying, if you want us to like you,
then you probably should.
Then you should send us a lot of pictures all the time.
And voice recordings, like not even videos.
What is this voice
recording? I want to hear your disembodied voice.
You can send those to Aaron's personal email. I don't need that.
I'm going to use them in my DJ sets.
Oh, really?
Maybe, I don't know.
That'd be cool. Can you do, like...
Yeah, who knows?
Can you do, like, clips from this in your DJ sets? I feel like you're part of something much cooler than I am.
I'm really not. I mean, no disrespect to Sparkle Motion, our DJ group, but we have kind of not been performing as often as we should.
Oh, well. If you do, you should start plugging the podcast. That's all I'm saying.
And just, like, you know... stop a song and be like, because you can't read all the time. Like, they're a scene.
I was in, like, 2 months ago, I was in Harlem, and we had, like, with a bunch of friends of mine from college, and there was another guy that we were all calling to come down, and it was, like, 11 o'clock in the morning, and they're like, oh, no, he can't, he's DJing in Greenwich Village. And I was like, at 11 o'clock in the morning on, like, a Friday? Like, it seemed weird to me. And then it turned out he was home with a stomach virus, which made more sense, I thought.
Like, I guess maybe, like, I know they have DJs at shops now, and...
Oh, maybe.
Maybe.
But
that's weird.
He definitely wasn't, though, because he was homesick, so I don't know how they got, like, you know, it's like the game Telephone, like, oh, I can't come out, I'm throwing up. Oh, he's DJing in Greenwich Village.
That's totally what that sounded like.
Yeah, who knows? People are so crazy these days.
That's for sure.
Yeah. God bless, though, you know? All right.
Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. So we've established our business. You can start looking for a more podcast-centric blog. We'll get an email associated with that so you can send Aaron your disembodied voice. So happy Bastille Day.
Yeah, it's been 4 short days.
Yeah, by the time you get this, it will be or have been Bastille Day. So I hope you'll make time in your day of revelry to spare a thought for your friends over here because you can't read all the time.
Yeah, that's what the holiday is really for.
Right. It is. It's about remembering your podcast hosts. It's Podcast Host Appreciation Day.
Sure is. That's what I got out of our conversation.
Because let's get real. I mean, if we lived in revolutionary times, Aaron and I probably would have been in the Bastille for something.
Yeah, whether it was like...
smoking dope.
Having poor... Wow. Okay, let's just go there.
I don't know. Just the idea of, like, 2 Revolutionary War people in, like, their costumes. Well, I guess back then they were just clothes and their wigs. And it's like, smoking dope. What are you guys doing? Are you smoking dope? Like, that's what they called it, I like to imagine.
Yeah. That's probably what we'd be in for.
In France.
Yeah.
So we would be in the Bastille for smoking dope.
None of my coworkers are listening.
Which is weird because that's not something I have a problem with or have ever been arrested for before. But for some reason, if I'd been alive in a different time, that probably is what I would have been like.
There's really not much else to do without a computer, so...
The pressures of revolutionary life would have been too much, I feel...
You gotta get by.
I probably would have even been a dealer, I bet.
good money in that.
I just see myself as an 18th century drug dealer.
You should put that on job application.
I have the personality of an 18th century drug dealer.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't know, 18th century drug dealer.
So you'll somehow travel back in time? Yes.
Yes to all of that.
All of that entails, that will be me, yes. So, would you care to purchase some 18th century style drugs?
I'm not even sure what that is.
I don't know, like, when I said smoking dope, like, I didn't imagine, like, I imagined it to be some sort of era-appropriate drug, like... I don't know, did they do opium yet then?
Yeah, probably.
Percocet?
Yeah, they were always popping their Percocet.
Prescription drugs.
Valium.
I would have helped 18th century aristocrats have problems with scripts. Would have been my MO. So, it's fun to play what if, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
What if, you know? What if?
What if?
What would have been your 18th century vice?
That's a hard one. I mean, aside from smoking dope.
well, the obvious, yes.
I guess I probably would have been, like, a smuggler. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and also more, less of an anachronism than mine.
Well, I like to keep it real.
Yeah, and I could see you as that. Maybe like a gypsy of some kind, or...
Yeah, or like, no, screw it. I would probably be one of those barbers that was like also a doctor, but on the side.
Yeah.
I like...
Cooked people into pies.
That, and I like got into discussions about how the earth revolved around the sun.
Wait, what?
You know, I'd basically be like a heretic, is what I'm saying.
I feel like by the 18th century they had already established that the earth revolved around the sun. Like, that would not have been that
heretical. Well, you know what I mean.
Like, it would have just been someone who, like...
controversial.
Okay, because if you said stuff like that, you'd just be, like, somebody who spouted facts all day.
That's what I am now, Maggie.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, yeah, whatever they didn't know to be true back then, not the stuff about the planets, we should probably stay clear of that. But, yeah, I guess, like, the tides, maybe. They probably didn't know a lot about that.
I could be like, hey, Pluto's not a planet.
Yeah, so you would
maybe
use...
Maybe, like, well, and then they'd burn me or something, because for some reason people care.
So you would use your future knowledge to blow the minds of people in past times.
I'd basically be a soothsayer, is what I'm getting at.
Okay. That probably would have gotten you in jail, I guess.
Usually that's how it works.
Maybe, like, they would have thought you were a witch or something.
Yeah. That. Oh, wait, okay. Now I want to go in a different direction. Sorry. Okay. I'm really indecisive.
You would have rather been a witch.
Yeah, I'd rather be a witch, and the reason is that...
But let me tell you why.
No, there's a reason. Because cooking people in the pies and stuff, like, that's not very attractive.
No. Not these days.
Certainly not. So I think I'd rather be a witch and have people be like, she seduced me with her witchly ways. And I'd be like, dude, I'm just hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'd be like, no, you're a witch. And I'd be like, oh. And then I'd be in jail for being hot.
That would be a good reason to be in jail. Like, oh, I was too sexy for the outside. So they had to lock me up.
And then, because of all of that, and the hard life that would entail, I would take to smoking some of your dope.
Yeah, and then you would buy prescription drugs for me.
Exactly.
And this is Maggie. She has a problem with scripts. So the Bastille actually sounds like a pretty good time, now that I think about it, with all the witches and what have you, all the sexy witches running around.
And the recreational drugs.
It's basically like an episode of the OC or something, or maybe True Blood.
Skins.
Skins doesn't take place in jail. Well, I guess none of those do. unlike True Blood, okay, it doesn't take place in jail. I guess like Oz, but like with more witches.
Yeah, that's a good...
But like a women's prison.
Those are all... It's like the... Okay, I have the perfect analog. It's like the music video for Telephone by Lady Gaga.
Okay, I'm with you. So would I get to be Beyonce?
Damn it, fine.
Oh, I thought you would have wanted to be Lady Gaga. That's why I said that. I'm okay with being Lady Gaga. I thought I was being charitable and letting you be Lady Gaga.
Do you mind? I just think Beyonce looks more like a sexy witch, and Lady Gaga looks more like a prescription drug user.
Yeah, that's probably true. Point taken. I doff my hat to you, madam.
I'm sorry if Lady Gaga is listening.
What if she's really our one like fan? What if she's like, because you can't read all the time, this sounds great.
That's probably already happened.
Gonna download this shit 107 times, I can tell you what.
Yeah.
And, so welcome, Carla Germanotta.
Is that her name?
Wasn't that her name?
I think it's like Stephanie.
Oh, it was Stephanie. Carla sounds more Italian, though, so...
Certainly does. Lady Gaga, if you know any Italian men with voracious appetite.
No, yes.
Please send them my way.
Hook a sister up, please.
Yeah.
Definitely. Not me, it's not my thing, but...
Yeah, I won't drag you into my sick...
I don't need to be a part of that. I've already been sucked into enough weird subcultures at this point.
Apparently.
Oh, you don't even... Anyway. No, not really. Or have I?
I don't know.
No, I haven't.
You're scaring me.
No, I haven't. I've dabbled in a few, you know. I used to do the fights. I used to be in the Ultimate Fight Club, that sort of thing, but...
But no more.
I was too good, basically, is what it came down to. I was just too good. There wasn't anybody who could keep up. I was handily beating all of my opponents. They said, you know, you should probably give somebody else a chance.
So you retired and let the other people have their time in the sun.
Right. You know, I was stealing the limelight, which you probably all remember, you know, because I was so ubiquitous in those times.
I still have the posters and the other paraphernalia.
All the other stuff.
All the other stuff.
The little action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good times for me, and I just packed it all in, partly because I killed a man in the ring. Moved to Ireland.
I didn't want to bring that up.
Killed a man in the ring, moved to Ireland to start over again in a small town where my father had lived growing up before immigrating to Pittsburgh to work in the steel mills. And, you know, I tried really hard to stay away from my fighting roots, but ultimately I got in a fight with my brother-in-law over my, you know, my spouse's bride money. We're good friends now, though.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was a long, long story, and a lot happened in between, but, you know, good stuff. It was probably the most narratively interesting time in my life.
Yeah, I'm surprised it doesn't come up more often, but,
yeah.
You know, you gotta put the past to the past.
I have. Water under the bridge. I don't talk about my fighting career very often, so, fan, Stephanie, Ted, whatever you'd like to be called... you're hearing about a chapter in my life I don't really talk about anymore, so.
Wow, the floodgates have opened.
Indeed they have. Which sounds really ominous. I'm like,
and now let's stop talking about it.
Yeah. And we're done. So anyway, a good Bastille Day to you, listener Ted, Aaron, a good evening, and you can look forward to some exciting changes here in Bikrat Land.
Is that what we're calling it?
It's easier to say than because you can't read all the time, I think.
But less enjoyable.
Bikrat sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, just, well, agree to disagree.
Yeah, okay, well, that's obviously a topic for another time, so. Anyway, good night, everybody. Aaron, would you? Okay.
No.
You don't want to say good night to the, good night, everybody.